All right. If you would, I want to turn back to Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to read that one verse, verse 8, and go from there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So this is he humbled himself, part 2. If this doesn't work out, I'm going to blame Walter. You know that. Well, Walter texted me. You know, we talked about it just a little bit back and forth. And Walter texted me, and what he texted me, I wrote it down here. Christ's condescension is the first glory of the mystery of godliness. And he's right. Great is that mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. And his being manifest in the flesh is humbling himself. He humbled himself. Those three words. The eternal one took on the form of a mortal. He took it on. Willingly, lovingly, he took on the likeness of sinful flesh. You know, and Paul writes that this mortal is going to put on immortality. That immortality put on the form of a mortal. That's the definition of condescension. And that's the definition of he humbled himself. He came down here. And I wrote these down. First, he humbled himself physically. He became man. He became man. He humbled himself visually. He had no beauty, no comeliness that we should desire him. I just said it. He took on the appearance, the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, he did not take on the appearance of a man. This is not an appearance. He took upon the form. Being found in fashion as a man. But he did take on the appearance. He didn't come as unfallen, perfect Adam, made by his own hands. Perfect. Upright. No, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He humbled himself visually. He humbled himself in his dealings with his creation. He humbled himself in his dealings with men. He was tested by men, abused by men, and when his hour had come, he was slain by men. And of course, fourthly, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. The first example I want to look at this is in Luke 1 and verse 59. It's a very simple statement, I think. Luke 1 and verse 59. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they called him, I'm at the wrong one. Zacharias. I put the wrong one. That's my fault. Sorry about that. Oh. And I wrote it down the wrong one.
Talk about Luke 2.
Yes. And I've lost the verse. I know, me too. Because I was going to go to Luke 2 next. There, okay. Verse 21. Sorry about that, folks. We never make mistakes around here. That was all the plan, you know that. Just to get your attention. Luke 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's what the angel told Joseph to name this child. Call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He came down as an infant, and 8 days later, they took him to be circumcised. He humbled himself physically. The God of all glory came into this world as an infant. Yes, he was born king. Yes, he is king. But he humbled himself to be born in the form of an infant. The one who created man was born unto a woman. He humbled himself to be dependent physically on his earthly parents. And Jesus was brought to be circumcised on the eighth day. He that was born king was brought to be circumcised. Now, when you think about this, circumcision is a sign, a type. Yes, it was a real physical circumcision. But yes, circumcision is a real type of a spiritual separation. Paul wrote in Romans 4:11, I'm not going to turn there, he said that circumcision was a seal of righteousness to Abraham. Of the righteousness, Abraham, by faith, he believed God. Of the faith Abraham had while he was still, what? Uncircumcised. Abraham's called the father of all them that believe, even though they be not circumcised. Paul said, Abraham's our father. Those that be not circumcised. Who's that? That's Gentiles. But our Lord came down and was circumcised on the eighth day. He didn't need to be separated. He didn't need a sign that he was separated. He didn't need a seal that he was separated, because he was separate. He was made of a woman made under the law, but yes, that child was born, but it was that son that was given. He humbled himself to be circumcised. Why? That the law would be fulfilled. The law had to be perfectly fulfilled by this son. And his parents saw to it. He humbled himself physically. Then Luke 2 and 51. I'm hoping that one's right. This is the account of when his parents went up to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. That's in verse 42. And when they'd fulfilled the days, they returned, but the child Jesus stayed. He tarried in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother didn't know anything about it. But they thought he'd been in the company, and he wasn't. They found out a day later he wasn't there, and they went back to Jerusalem and took him 3 days to find him. And it came to pass, as verse 46, that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers at 12 years old. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That's his parents. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Welcome to the world of parenthood. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Here it is. And was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And here's another thing. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But he subjected himself to his parents. The one who created the whole world. He humbled himself to obey his mother and father, stepfather. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords obeyed. And he obeyed them. He obeyed them. What does the law say? Honor thy father and thy mother. He humbled himself. He was made of a woman, but he was made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. Because if he didn't honor his mother and his father, he didn't keep the law. And that's just as simple as I can put it. It's not that he couldn't have been about his father's business. He had business. This was doing his father's business. Honoring his mother and his father was doing God's business. The one who knew his own father's business humbled himself. The eternal Son came to the temple visually as a 12-year-old boy. He humbled himself. And he went away submitting himself to his parents. I just find that amazing. Now, Matthew chapter 3. I hope. That's going to bother me for days. You know that.
Paul will fix that.
If you can, please do. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. If he does fix it, they're going to wonder what that was about. You know that. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the Lord of glory coming forth to be baptized by John unto the baptism of repentance. What in the world did Jesus Christ have to be repentant of? Absolutely nothing. And he told John, though, John told him, I need to be baptized by you. And John was right. But Jesus told him, no, suffer it so. Suffer it so. Suffer it now. Right here, right now, it is needful to me to be baptized, the baptism of repentance. This man, this God man, this king, suffered himself to be baptized in the water, just like a regular sinner. Just like he identified. He humbled himself. He identified himself with his people. The Pharisees wouldn't do it. Some of them came by. John said, bring forth some meat fit for repentance. Pharisees weren't doing it. Scribes weren't doing it. No. But our Lord Jesus Christ did. He identified himself. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not come in sinful flesh. He did not sin. He could not sin. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with the book. And I got nothing for you. But he identified himself. He humbled himself so far to be baptized by this fellow with long hair and a camel's hair shirt. Eating grasshoppers and honeycomb. The honeycomb part don't sound so bad. But now the grasshoppers, I don't know. I know there are places where they eat chocolate-covered grasshoppers to this day. But I'm just not one of those people. And I like chocolate. Our Lord humbled himself. He identified with us. He was perfectly willing, perfectly fulfilling the will, the purpose, and the plan of the Father. It was needful for him to be baptized under the baptism of repentance, to identify himself with his people. every step he took and every word he said and everything he did. A, he humbled himself, and B, he was fulfilling the will of the Father. Suffer it to be so now. Why? For thus is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He humbled himself. Chapter 4, right after this, he went off into the wilderness. What? To be tested, to be tempted of the devil. This man, the incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word is Jesus Christ. The Word went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to be tested. And what did he answer every single time? Scripture. Scripture. It's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. You understand? Our Lord didn't bring railing accusation against the devil any more than that fella did in Jude, talking about the body of Moses, that angel. He answered the devil with Scripture. He didn't even... He humbled himself and had subjected himself to the Word of God.
Amen.
And his answer to every man come from the Word of God. Yes, they're his words. But yes, he was quoting Scripture. These accusations, the devil wanted him to do some stuff. What do you hear around you today? Come on. I mean, there are people who say they wrestle with the devil. Have you never heard that? I'm serious. And they're trying to be serious about it. I told that devil to get away from me. Christ quoted Scripture.
Amen.
Christ quoted Scripture. The only offensive weapon we have in our whole armor of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
We're to put it all on, but that's the only offensive weapon we have. Everything else is defensive.
Amen.
He quoted the Scriptures to the devil. And here's the thing, in full truth and in full understanding of those Scriptures. But he humbled himself to be tested, to be tempted. Luke chapter 9. And I hope it's verse 58. Luke chapter 9. Excuse me. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, what? Hath not where to lay his head. During his whole ministry. Now, during his youth, he was subject unto his parents. He lived with his parents and was subject unto them. But during his ministry, he wandered. Now to us, it might seem aimlessly, but to him it wasn't. He wandered wherever he was wont to go. The old saying is this, he had places to go and people to see.
Amen.
I must needs go through Samaria.
Yeah.
It didn't matter where he went. Galilee, Jerusalem, Bethany, Samaria, Capernaum. It didn't matter where. He went where he wanted to go, and he spoke to whom he wanted to speak, and he healed whom he wanted to heal. What is all this? Our Lord humbled himself while he was on this earth. He came to us. In baptism, he identified himself with us. In his ministry, he came to them. He didn't sit up in Jerusalem in the temple and say, "All right, everybody come." No. No. He humbled himself even to the fact that he didn't have a place to lay his head, a place to call his own. And he came to us. Why would he do such a thing? Well, you read on later in John 6, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father, which sent me, draws him." Then he also said after that, "No man comes to me except to be given unto him of my Father." He came to us. He humbled himself in his dealings with his creatures, with his creation, with his people in specific. Paul quoted Isaiah in Romans, "I was found of those that sought me not." How do you find Christ? There's only one way to find Christ. I can tell you this. I know there's a lot of people looking, so say they're looking, say they're seeking, but here's the only one way I know from the scriptures to find Christ. He has to find you first.
Amen.
Look at that parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Who does the finding? It ain't you. But you will find him when he finds you. Just like you'll love him when he first loves you. Ah, it's good stuff. You understand? He sought us and found us. He's called the good shepherd. We are never called the good sheep. There's two kinds of sheep. There's a lost sheep and a found sheep.
Amen.
That's the two kinds. It ain't never the good sheep.
No.
I like to think I'm good sometimes, Paul. But I'm usually wrong about that sort of thing. We're never called the good sheep in Scripture. It's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is not sitting out on the corner of the fold saying, "Come here, sheep." He goes out and finds them. And he picks them up and he brings them in. He calls by name and they follow. Who found who? The good shepherd. "Other sheep I have." What? "Them I must bring. And they're going to hear my voice. And there's going to be only one fold." Why? Because there's only one shepherd.
Amen.
Oh. He humbled himself. He came looking for us. He came to find his people. "I've come to" what? "To seek and to save that which was lost." He humbled himself in his dealing with men. Matthew 21 and verse 18. Very quickly. "Now in the morning as he returned into the city," two words, "he hungered." He humbled himself physically again. The one who created the garden hungered. The one who made plants and animals hungered. He humbled himself physically. The one who brings the sun and the rain to grow food and to feed the beast hungered. The one who invented food hungered. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Then in John 18, we start heading for his death. John 18 and verse 12. They came for him. They came for him by night. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. He humbled himself.
Yeah.
Oh, he humbled himself. They bound God manifest in the flesh. How in the world would that such a thing be possible? He humbled himself.
Amen.
He humbled himself.
Yeah.
You know, I call 12 legions of angels. This is one where Peter, verse 10, Peter took a sword and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. And Christ said, put that thing back. It's not the time for it. The cup which my Father hath given me, what is it? Shall I not drink it?
Yeah.
He humbled himself. Then they took him and they bound him. No man could bind him. He humbled himself. I went into this a few weeks ago. They couldn't bind a man with an unclean spirit. How are you going to bind God manifest in the flesh? He humbled himself and what? Suffered this to be so. No man could hold him, no man could take him, and no man could keep him. They bound him, and it says they took him, and they took him away to the Jews. He humbled himself in his dealing with men. A little later in verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? He that is absolutely just suffered, humbled himself to injustice. He humbled himself in his dealings with his creation. They smote him unjustly. They mocked him unjustly. They scourged him, beat him bloody unjustly. Man condemned life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They condemned the life to death. Unjustly. The liars they brought in couldn't agree. Their false witnesses they brought against them couldn't agree on a good lie. Man condemned him to death unjustly. And he humbled himself to that death. Even the death of the cross. His sayings from the cross reveal this to us. Father, first one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know what they did. One of them prophesied by mistake. It is expedient sometimes for one man to die for a nation. That part was true. The rest of it was unjust. He humbled himself. And he forgave them this. They don't know what they're doing. Second saying from the cross. I find this totally amazing. Today you will be with me in paradise. He humbled himself. He's on the cross. And he's finding a sheep.
Yeah.
He's on the cross. Hanging there. And he's bringing in a sheep.
What?
Today. Today. He humbled himself with the dealings with his creatures. In the midst of his unjust punishment, he called his sheep. Then he said, behold your son, to his mother. And to John he said, behold your mother. During this unjust punishment, he provided for others. He provided for his people. He saved others, himself he could not save. Oh yeah, he could have. But he humbled himself and he didn't.
Yeah.
But even while he was there, he was taking care of the people of God.
Yes,
amen.
He humbled himself. Ah, my God, why have you forsaken me? The question of all questions.
Yeah.
He was abandoned by God. Why? Why? He humbled himself to this death for this time and this purpose right here. God made him to be sin for us.
Yeah.
And his being sin, not being a sinner, I'm not saying Jesus Christ became a sinner. Don't get mad. Read your Bible. It said God made him to be sin. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with the scripture, that's not the word imputation. It said God made him to be sin. He was made a curse. It says that too. Why? Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He did not sin, but he was made to be sin, well, for us. He humbled himself to a death of sin and shame. Even the death of the cross, it says. The next thing he said was, I thirst. He humbled himself to weakness, physical weakness. And the sixth thing, it is finished. It is finished. You know why it's finished? He finished it.
Amen.
That's why. That's the only reason why. He humbled himself and he finished it. He humbled himself and he did it. He humbled himself and it is finished. I love that. The seventh thing, it says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He completed this sacrifice for sin. He completed it. And then he said, my Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What are you talking? I've done all that I came here that you wanted me to do. And it's done. Perfectly done. The law is fulfilled. The prophets have been vindicated. The prophecies had come true of the death of the Messiah was coming true. Isaiah. Who's bearing transgressions? How many are saved? All those whose transgressions he bared.
Amen.
Then it says, he gave up the ghost. I am going to do a little Greek here, Walter. Aorist, tense, past tense, active. This is something he did.
Yeah.
And it's indicative. It's a fact. It's not up for speculation. He gave up the ghost. He humbled himself and he gave up the ghost. Those are in exactly the same tense. Aorist, active, indicative. It's in the past tense. He did it. He was actively doing it. No man taketh my life. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back up again, even while he humbled himself.
Yeah.
Ah, man, the glory of that. He gave all, and he gave up the ghost. Because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. I think I said it last week. God and the Father weren't pretending. This is a real death. He gave all to the Father, and he gave all for his people. He humbled himself physically. He humbled himself visually. He humbled himself in his dealings with his creation. And he humbled himself in death. You understand, Melchizedek came and went. The captain of our salvation appeared and then disappeared. You mentioned it this morning on TV, Walter. Jacob's angel that he wrestled with went back to heaven. That was Christ. What's the difference between these theophanies and the incarnation of Jesus Christ? The Christophanies were large and powerful and real and temporary. Temporary. Now, Christ didn't end, but these appearances did. Jesus, he humbled himself and came down, became a man. And he humbled himself as a man. He humbled himself as the servant of God. He humbled himself as a minister unto us. He humbled himself through a horrible scourging that he didn't deserve. And he humbled himself to be struck, to be smitten, to be scourged by his own creation. He humbled himself to be forsaken by his Father. And he humbled himself unto the death of the cross, despising the shame. But he humbled himself and did it. And he humbled himself. He rose from the dead. That he had to rise from the dead. The undying, eternal God of all glory died and had to raise himself from the dead. That's a mystery. He humbled himself. And he is still man to this day. Christ Jesus, the man, his name is going to be exalted forever. God's given him a name above every name. And here's the thing. He is humbled no more. That part's over. That part's over. You understand? Jesus Christ did die. He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. But that death is over, my friends. He is raised from the dead. He is exalted at the right hand of God. He is expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. He humbled himself and did it. But that part's over. He is humbled no more. He'll be coming back, but he'll be coming back with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thigh. He's going to be coming back as God Almighty in human flesh. This Jesus whom you've seen go up, he's coming back. And he's humbled no more. What is he now? He is exalted over all.
Amen.
And that's it. He is humbled no more. He ever lives to make intercession for us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords intercedes on my behalf. And on your behalf. If you're in him. He's not humbled anymore. He did humble himself. But that, like I said, that's in the past tense. He is humble no more. He is exalted and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Why? Because that is exactly where he belongs.
Amen.
And he's coming back to be exalted on this earth. And you can take that to the bank too. This same Jesus you've seen go is going to come back. He ain't coming back the way he came the first time. He's not coming back to humble himself again. There's going to be some humbling, but it's not going to be him. Because every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord.
Yeah.
To the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
He is humbled no more. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this. That your Son, our Lord, the one you sent, the one who humbled himself, is coming again in glory and honor and power as is his just due. Be with us, Lord, as we go forth. Be with Walter as he comes to speak your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.